In this video, we are ranking the top 30 wide receivers for fantasy football as of now that are going to help you win your league. And we're breaking it down by tier. My wide receiver one in tier one is CeeDee Lamb. Now, this is not like a guarantee for a lot of people. Wide receiver one can be like three or four different guys this year, but CeeDee Lamb is coming off of a 181 target season, led the NFL in both targets and catches with 135. And not only will Lamb have his same quarterback in Dak Prescott, but he's going to have the exact same target competition. Brandon Cooks, who is now, 31 years old, Jalen Tolbert going into his third year, never really been a threat. The only guy they added was Martavis Bryant, who's 32 years old and hasn't done anything in the NFL for 8 years now. So you're getting this guy in CeeDee Lamb, who was elite in terms of getting volume and efficiency last year, which is a rare combination. Now my wide receiver two is going to be Tyreek Hill from the Miami Dolphins, and this is the guy who led the NFL in receiving last year with basically 1800 yards in just 16 games, and he's now turning 30 years old. Now the only reason Tyreek isn't number one compared to Lamb is, well, he's a little bit older and he just has more target competition, mostly coming from Jalen Waddle, although an older Odell Beckham Jr. is now on the team. And then also in the backfield, you have explosive guys like Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane compared to CeeDee Lamb, who's dealing with an older Ezekiel Elliott and then like Brandon Cooks for target and production competition. So Tyreek has shown no signs of slowing down, still a tier one receiver. Now my wide receiver three, still in tier one here, is Ja'Marr Chase from the Cincinnati Bengals. And this is a guy who has similar competition to last year. Tyler Boyd is now gone actually, and then there's still T. Higgins there. And look, Chase had a bit of a down year last year, but here's the thing. The way that defenses were playing the Bengals, they weren't letting them throw deep. He ranked just 26th in deep targets, averaging just 8.4 yards per target. You could see right here, 82nd in the NFL, and then he had a couple of games towards the end of the year without Joe Burrow. But he made up for the lack of deep targets by putting up a career high 100 catches, and now he has Joe Burrow healthy entering this year. Now my wide receiver four still in tier one here is Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just signed a massive 4-year, $120 million extension, and it's well-deserved because he's reliable on all levels for Jared Goff and the Lions. He's played in 49 out of 51 career games. He just had 119 catch season and ranked fourth in wide receiver efficiency last year. And now the dude's biggest target competition at the receiver position is Khalif Raymond and Jamison Williams, who's going to have to see more volume this year because they lost Josh Reynolds, and I feel really good about Amon-Ra still being an obvious and clear priority. Now, my wide receiver five still in tier one here is Justin Jefferson, the number one receiver for a lot of people last year. And look, the only reason why he's still not up there is because he got an obvious quarterback downgrade from Kirk Cousins to now J.J. McCarthy. And there's a decent chance with the rookie quarterback in there and McCarthy that this team doesn't throw as much as they did last year when they ranked sixth in the NFL, throwing 37 times a game. And then things get really scary if J.J. McCarthy struggles or he just doesn't start the season off because you're dealing with Sam Darnold as Justin Jefferson's quarterback, which is not as stable as some of the guys we mentioned a little bit earlier when like Dak Prescott's throwing to CeeDee Lamb. So that rounds out tier one. Now we go into tier two, and it starts out with the second year player Puka Nacua from the Los Angeles Rams. And look, Puka Nacua, you don't have to say much. He emerged last year as the guy for the Rams, which does say something considering Cooper Kupp was there. Puka goes out, plays every single game, has 105 targets, over 1400 yards, sets a ton of just rookie records right away, and was extremely efficient. And now he's entering his second season. He's just 23 years old and gets a full offseason with Sean McVay and Matt Stafford in this offense to just take another step forward. Now for my wide receiver seven still in tier two, it's going to be AJ Brown, who had an incredible start to last season. I mean, this dude was averaging 140 targets per game or 140 yards per game from week three to week eight. And then we remember that Devonta Smith existed as he started to produce. Brown ended up finishing the year as the wide receiver eight in fantasy, and he ranked number one at earning targets against man coverage. On to my wide receiver eight, and that is Garrett Wilson, who last season, look, it was tough for him. He had to play with some brutal quarterbacks since Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and despite that, he was still averaging basically 10 targets per game and was top five in wide receiver usage. Now, on paper, Garrett Wilson should have tougher competition this year. Mike Williams, the veteran, is there, a jump ball outside receiver. A rookie in the third round could be a slot receiver in Malachi Corley compared to like Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard last year. But again, these guys in general aren't going to be the alpha number one receiver based on their skill sets and also experience and age. The experience part, of course, for Malachi Corley, who doesn't have any, and the age part for Mike Williams, who's coming off a ton of injuries. So Garrett Wilson gets to be Aaron Rodgers' number one receiver behind an offensive line for the Jets that has been revamped. Now, my wide receiver nine is Drake London, and honestly, nobody might have had a better offseason. He was the best offseason winner, you can say, because he got an upgrade from Desmond Ridder, one of the worst, if not the worst, quarterbacks in the league, to now Kirk Cousins. And not only that, but he also ended up losing his run-happy, run-first quarterback who made some weird personnel decisions in Arthur Smith. And if you're not familiar, London can win in the slot or on the outside as a receiver. He has the size, he has the speed, and even though he was in a run-first offense his first 2 years in the league, he still averaged 7 targets per game. And now he has a brand new offensive coordinator in Zach Robinson, who spent time with Sean McVay the last 5 years. In the last 2 years, he was actually the Rams passing game coordinator. And yeah, he helped Puka Nacua break out last year and tons of big upside games for guys like Cooper Kupp as well. So I do expect Zach Robinson, you know, to put his number one receiver, Drake London, in a position to really excel. Now, rounding out our top 10 as we stay in tier two is going to be a rookie, and it's Marvin Harrison Jr., who is the clear alpha number one receiver for Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals after being taken with the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft. And not only is he the clear alpha, but they didn't draft any other receivers. So this is his competition. A second-year player, Michael Wilson, who I do like, but he's not going to threaten for a massive target share. A veteran in Chris Moore, who's mostly like a special teams depth piece right now. And then Greg Dortch, who is a quality and efficient slot receiver. But for the most part, Marvin Harrison as a rookie might push for a 30% target share. His only real competition for targets is a talented tight end in Trey McBride. But for the most part, I'm not too concerned that he's going to be like the number one big option in Holt, a breakout from Marvin Harrison. And with that, we go to tier three, and it starts with Brandon Ayuk, who there is a rumor that he might be traded, but we've seen all offseason. The GM and even the coach Kyle Shanahan have said, no, we want this guy here long-term, and he's still on the team as of right now. And look, plain and simple, Ayuk is the ex number one outside receiver on one of the most efficient offenses in the league. Last season, Ayuk ranked second in the NFL in yards per catch, so he was operating both after the catch well and downfield, and look, he's one of the best route runners in the league, plain and simple. And speaking of one of the best route runners in the league, that takes us to Davante Adams, who even though he's getting up there in age, now 31 years old, he has still been efficient. Now, last year specifically was a little bit less efficient, but that wasn't his fault, because the dude just did not see accurate targets. He ranked 66th in ACK and quality targets, and right here, 66.9%, that's his catchable target rate, which means over 30% of his targets weren't catchable. And he ranked number one in unrealized air yards, meaning a lot of balls were just thrown over his head. Despite all that, he was still a top 15 receiver last year, and hopefully the addition of Gardner Minshew, I know it's not great, but hopefully that addition can help him continue to be a top 15 receiver. Now we get to my wide receiver 13, and that is Chris Olave of the New Orleans Saints, who, look, he had a pretty nice offseason because the Saints basically did nothing in the offseason. They added a depth receiver in Cedric Wilson and a fifth round receiver in Bub Meems out of Pittsburgh, which means that Chris Olave's competition is no different than last year. He'll be competing probably with Rashid Shaheed, like an outside deep receiver, and A.T. Perry, who's like an end zone body type receiver, maybe a jump ball specialist. None of these guys are going to threaten for a massive target share. And now you enter year two with this combination of Olave and Derek Carr, and in year one, he averaged about 9 targets per game. It should only get better this season. Now, my wide receiver 14 is Deebo Samuel, and again, this is a crowded offense. Ayuk is still there, Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, but you still have to remember that Deebo Samuel is one of the best, if not the best players in the NFL with the ball in his hands, and he's going to have his boom weeks. Just like he did last season when he had a bunch of boom weeks and he finishes a top 12 wide receiver despite having to play next to all these other elite talents on the 49ers and him only earning 6 targets a game. And it was due to the fact that he's just always been efficient. He's great after the catch, and he does have that rushing upside to give him the edge to be, instead of like a top 20 guy, a top 15 guy. Now to round out my top 15, we stay in tier 3 with Devonta Smith, who had a slow start to last season, similar to 2022 as well, but then he finished really strong, and his biggest improvement was his physicality on his routes. You saw him win a lot more jump balls, he picked up yards after the catch, and his route running was great per usual, and now he's still in this good offense with a quality quarterback. Next up is my wide receiver 16, Michael Pittman, and he has been moving up a little bit for me. He just signed a 3-year extension for $71 million after coming off of a career-high year of over 100 catches and over 1,100 yards while playing with Gardner Minshew, of all people. Now, there are some concerns because we don't know what the passing game is going to look like with Anthony Richardson back under center this year, but I trust Shane Steichen, their head coach, who was able to adapt the offense to Gardner Minshew last year and find success working through Michael Pittman. And we're still in tier 3 here with my wide receiver 17, and that's Mike Evans, who just signed a 2-year extension, and even though he's turning 31, this guy showed no signs of slowing down, and I don't think the whole motivation factor is going to come into play with Evans, who is just a vet's vet. And he's coming off of a year who, although he was 30 years old last year, kind of had a revival with Baker Mayfield and their former head coach Dave Canales under center, offensive coordinator, number 11 in wide receiver efficiency, averaged 74 yards per game, and now Baker Mayfield is also back with the team. But as I mentioned, Dave Canales is their former offensive coordinator, took a job with the Panthers, so that would be one knock here. We really don't know what's going to happen with this offense, and specifically Baker with a new offensive coordinator. And now we finally finished tier 3, we're moving on to tier 4 here with my wide receiver 18, and that is Jaylen Waddle, who in his 3-year NFL career has never finished worse than wide receiver 21 in fantasy football, and in 2 of those years he had to play with Tyreek Hill. And it's just hard not to have him in the top 20 again based on this offensive environment and him never being the focal point of the defenses when Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane are on your team. And oh yeah, he was the wide receiver 21 last year, even though he saw a career low 4 touchdowns. Even if he has like 6 or 7, he would have been a borderline top 15 guy last year. Expect more touchdowns this season and him to be a top 20 receiver. That takes us to another steady producer, my wide receiver 19, DK Metcalf. He might only move up, honestly, because last year he finishes the wide receiver 22 in fantasy despite 44%, more than 4 out of 10 of his targets being uncatchable. I mean, this dude had 120 targets and only caught 66 of them. We need a better and more accurate Geno Smith this year. And that's where my concern for Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans comes in, because Geno Smith lost Dave Canales last year and all of a sudden he looked much worse. But even in the worst case scenario last year where Geno Smith did not look all that good, you still saw DK Metcalf finish as the wide receiver 22. And that's in a year when you look at his past years of 10 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns, 6, he had like just an average year of 8 touchdowns. Imagine now if Geno gets better and you get a double digit touchdown year from DK Metcalf, then yeah, you're definitely a top 20, maybe even a top 10 guy. Now let's head into my wide receiver 20. And that would be the Bears wide receiver DJ Moore, who was coming off of a career year of 136 targets, nearly 1,400 receiving yards. But that was in a year where he had no competition. He has much more competition this year. Even though he does have a quarterback quarterback upgrade, Justin Fields to Caleb Williams, the first overall pick. He has much more competition and a top 10 wide receiver in Rome Odunze from the draft. And even though he's 32, Keenan Allen was still great last year, averaging over 11 targets per game. And I mean, compared to last year's competition, it's just much more. Look at this. Tyler Scott, Chase Claypool, and Darnell Mooney were his biggest target competition last year. DJ Moore had 136 targets to just 61. The next closest guy, less than half of the targets is DJ Moore, was Darnell Mooney. Now, before we get into these final 10 receivers, who are the exact guys who are kind of the sleepers in this range and can win you a league, I want to let you know about the Fantasy Blueprint. Plain and simple, this will have everything you need to help you draft and then win your fantasy league every single week of the year. And how do you get it? You just follow these two simple steps. There's a link in the description below. But here's the big piece that I always want to mention. This is risk-free. It's $10 for the entire year. But if you don't make your fantasy playoffs, I just refund that $10 right here. You can see, absolutely risk-free. And last year, we had over 1,000 people sign up and only 3 people reached out for a refund. So it kind of speaks for itself on how many people are making their fantasy playoffs. To get your Fantasy Blueprint today, you can just click the link in the description below or scan that QR code on the screen right now. Now, we are still in our tier 4 here, and we are moving on to my wide receiver 21, and that is going to be the Texans wide receiver, and I believe the Texans number one receiver in Nico Collins, who is entering the prime of his career at just 25 years old and coming off of a career high 1,300 yard season. He was the main downfield option for Stroud last year, and in 2023 he finished 7th in fantasy points per game and 2nd in wide receiver efficiency. And now he's gonna have more competition this year because they traded for Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs will kind of replace Noah Brown in the starting lineup. And Diggs, even though he's aging, is definitely still a quality receiver, so that's why you see, instead of being a top 10 receiver like he was last year, I have him ranked in the 20s now. That's why there's that drop. And speaking of Stephon Diggs, he's right there, the wide receiver 22 for me. He got traded for a second round pick to the Texans this past off season, and let's break it down. Assuming that we get Stephon Diggs in two wide receiver sets over Tank Dell, then it's hard not to see him being a top 24 receiver in this offense based on what we saw CJ Stroud do last year with his receivers. And Diggs still earned 160 targets in the Bills offense last year. He was dealing with injury. There was that offensive coordinator change midway through the season. So yeah, maybe it was a down year in terms of overall production, but there's some reasons for that. And not to mention, the fella hasn't missed a game since 2019, so he's just reliable. Now we're going to move into my tier 5 of wide receivers, and you might have been waiting for, where is this guy? He's been like a top 10 pick, top 2 receiver for the past few seasons, and Cooper Kupp is my wide receiver 23. And look, here's the deal. He was never right in 2023. He was, beginning of the season, had that hamstring injury that he missed some time with, an ankle injury during the season as well hurt him. And now the fella is 31 years old, and based off what we saw last year, it's hard to get excited. Because yeah, he was dealing with injuries, but why are those going to slow down? We've had multiple years now of this hamstring issue, and it's only going to maybe be more of a factor as he ages. And right here last year was 39th in efficiency, by far the worst that we've seen in quite some time for Cooper Kupp, maybe potentially ever, depending on the efficiency stat you're looking at. Now the hope is that you have Sean McVay, an offensive guru, and even though Cooper Kupp is aging, he can put him in spots to maximize what is left of his great talent. But there is definitely some risk here that does scare me, and that's why he's my wide receiver 23. Now my wide receiver 24 is going to be T. Higgins of the Bengals, who last season was just brutal on many fronts from him. He had a fractured rib, he had a hamstring strain that he was dealing with, and then he had to deal with the backup quarterback for the final half of the final part of the season. He only got to play in 7 games with Joe Burrow healthy, and in those games he averaged over 7 targets. So they still had the connection, and it was just rarely happening because neither of them could stay on the field. But there's a good chance that he's going to be a free agent this offseason, so hey, maybe that's some extra motivation to go be the number one receiver on the market. Now my wide receiver 25 is another top 10 pick in the draft, the Giants number one receiver, and that is going to be Malik Nabers, the clear number one receiver for this team. But I'm just concerned with how this Giants offense actually moves the ball. They don't have Darren Waller most likely retiring, they don't have Saquon Barkley, and they still have Daniel Jones off an injury. That's a little bit suspect. So that whole situation definitely scares me. It's the only reason why I don't have Malik Nabers higher, because I do think he's an explosive and dynamic young player. Now my final player in tier 5 before we get to our final tier is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I believe their number one receiver, and that is going to be Christian Kirk. He benefited the most from Calvin Ridley leaving this offseason. It's now going to allow him to not only operate on the outside but also in the slot in 3 wide receiver sets. And look, believe it or not, these past 2 seasons since he got to Jacksonville, he has been Trevor Lawrence's number one target, whether it's overall volume going his way or how he's produced for that team. And now we get into my final tier, tier 6, and I think these 4 guys can be some real sleepers. And we're going to start with the 3rd receiver from the Texans, and that is going to be Tank Dell. He's off of a broken fibula, appears to be healthy, and as a rookie, he was 14th in wide receiver efficiency, finishing as a top 20 guy in fantasy points. Now, of course, the issue for Dell, as we have already looked at, is his target competition. He has to deal with not only Nico Collins from last year, but now Stephon Diggs, a major upgrade from guys like Noah Brown, who were in the starting rotation last season. And if we do believe that Stephon Diggs gets the 2 wide receiver sets, that's going to keep Tank Dell off the field a lot more than he was last year, which is a concern. But something to keep in mind is that CJ Stroud loves Tank Dell. Based on the way that they hang out off the field and the way that he raves about him, he might be actually CJ Stroud's favorite target when you talk about just kind of the guy to bond with, which maybe that helps him as the younger player get on the field a little bit more if the QB is saying, hey, we want him on the field for this play. Now, my wide receiver 28 is a guy that I really like right now, and I think he's being slept on. Marquise Brown, who I believe is the Chiefs' number one receiver for fantasy football. Rashee Rice may be facing a suspension. Xavier Worthy is a great player, but he is coming in as a rookie. I think Marquise Brown, he's already proven it, because the dude has 4 straight seasons of 100 plus targets, and now he's paired up with the best quarterback in his career in Patrick Mahomes. So put a star next to Marquise Brown's name, at least as of right now when this video is releasing. Obviously, things can change. And now we get to my wide receiver 29, which is going to be the Bucs number two receiver, Chris Godwin, who, look, he struggled last year with Baker, who preferred throwing it to Mike Evans downfield, but we still saw a solid Chris Godwin, who ended up averaging 7.7 targets per game and ranking 17th in yards after the catch. And look, here's the thing. He just wasn't targeted downfield at all. That was Mike Evans, like we said, a little bit of Trey Palmer, the rookie. He had just 13 deep targets, 54th in the league, you can see right here. And his average target distance was just about 9 yards downfield, which ranks 76th in the NFL. So he didn't have a chance to see a lot more explosive plays. Maybe with an offensive coordinator change, he can be used more downfield. And look at this right here. He only had a career low 2 touchdowns last season. If these touchdowns go up, he was the wide receiver 34. If they go up to just like 5, he's a borderline top 20 guy. And now for my final guy in the top 30 wide receivers. And if you want to see my entire full rankings for PPR, non-PPR tiers, a bunch of stuff, again, be sure to check out that Fantasy Blueprint link down below. You can see Zay Flowers is my wide receiver 30, coming off of a rookie year where he saw 77 catches, pretty solid year. Now, the one concern for Zay Flowers is he really never was used downfield outside of like one game all that much. His average target distance, just 8 yards downfield, hard to have these upside plays. So it's difficult for me to have him as a top 20 guy or even a top 25 guy if we don't really see that role in his game. Maybe it changes this year, but they drafted DeVontez Walker, who's going to be an outside guy. Rashad Bateman plays on the outside as well. So right now, Odell Beckham Jr. is gone. That's good, but it looks like the role that he's going to play will be probably similar to last year. Fingers crossed, though, that changes. So these are my way too early top 30 fantasy football wide receiver rankings. And if you want to see the running back rankings, top 30 of them, be sure to check out this video right here. And hey, if you're not yet already, subscribe to this channel as we're approaching 100,000 subscribers.